You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, February 25th, 9 a.m. Sacramento Delta, Eisenberg Sandhill Crane Reserve. The first subtle influences of spring have insinuated their way into California's Central Valley. While buds have yet to break open on the knotted, head-pruned vineyard that spreads out across the valley floor to the north of my viewing platform, thick, green, and lush grass is bursting out of the soil between rows of grapevines. Lavender wild radish, orange fiddleneck, and yellow mustard blossoms have begun to apportion color into the bleak landscape. This section of the Sacramento Delta was formerly part of a vast estuary, an endless tule marsh with brackish water. In the late 1800s, farmers reclaimed the tidal wetland by building levees along channels and draining the resulting land for farming. These large blocks of farmland, many of which have sunk up to 25 feet below sea level, are now known as islands or tracts. I stand on a raised 6-foot cement viewing pad a few feet from the parking lot, looking southward across the swampy grassland. This huge valley is so flat that this tiny platform affords me an unobstructed view to the horizon in every direction. The only exceptions are the distant silhouette of Mount Diablo in the Coast Range to the west and the indistinct profile of the snow-covered Sierra Nevada mountains to the east. The Phil and Marilyn Eisenberg Ecological Reserve includes Blossom Slough, a series of ponds. The Christmas bird count for this area regularly exceeds 150 species, ranking among the top inland sites in the nation. The fields in this area are farmed in corn and support between 55% and 75% of the California's Greater Sandhill Crane population, or nearly 6,000 of these magnificent birds. Although I cannot spot any sandhill cranes, the abundant avian chaos before me is truly astounding. 10 yards away, dozens of coots pick newly emerging grass shoots with chicken-like bills. Their peculiar looking lobed toes support them easily on the soft mud. In the shallow water, hundreds of long-billed dowitchers jostle for position while busily probing the murky bottom for invertebrates, jabbing their long bills into the mud with a pumping motion. A dozen snowy egrets preen and flirt with each other in the tules. These dazzling white herons with black legs and bright yellow feet lend a riotous feel to the marsh with their animated dancing. A single white-faced ibis with a long scimitar-shaped beak joins them casually walking into the open from a tangle of bulrushes. Pintails, shovelers, green-winged teal, gadwalls, and canvasbacks dabble in the deeper water. Thousands of black-necked stilts wade on long pink legs in another pond to the west. Amidst the cacophony of bird calls, I suddenly hear an unmistakable, high-pitched, croaking rattle. These are the distant bugling calls of hundreds of airborne sandhill cranes. Cranes have elongated trachea that loop inside their chests. This gives them a much longer set of tubing through which to pass air and sound. It is the same principle used to amplify sounds in trumpets, trombones, and tubas. Undulating lines of dozens of these birds flying on stiff, 7-foot wings with necks extended and legs dragging behind are rising together into the air like collective wisps of smoke. It is time for these birds to gather and migrate out of their valley sanctuary to return to breeding grounds in eastern Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia. As the sounds grow louder, it is apparent that the approaching birds are moving northward. Coincidentally, birders have reported seeing sandhill cranes flying northward over the Willamette Valley this week. As they approach, the effect of hundreds of cranes flying overhead is awe-inspiring. This ancient order of birds coexisted with the last dinosaurs. They have been coming to California's Central Valley for millions of years. Aldo Leopold said of cranes, "Their annual return is the ticking of the geological clock. Upon the place of their return, they confer a peculiar distinction. Amid the endless mediocrity of the commonplace, a crane marsh holds a paleontological patent of nobility, one in the march of eons." Wren is sponsoring a wetland wander on Tuesday, March 10th from 9 to 10 a.m. Meet at the Checker Mallow Access Point off of Royal Avenue. The group will traverse along the Fern Ridge bike path to spot wildlife along Amazon Creek and Meadowlark Prairie. These casual walks through various West Eugene wetland sites are scheduled each second Tuesday of every month. Wren will provide binoculars. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y at msn.com.